Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking about how to rise to the life of your dreams through mindset, food, and movement. My guest is Danette May, who is a world-renowned motivational speaker, number one best-selling author of 7 health and empowerment books, former celebrity fitness trainer, wife, and mother. She is the founder of Mindful Health and the Rise Movement. You may have seen her on national TV shows such as Access Hollywood, Hallmark Home and Family, and CBS. She has her own personal journey that she shares during this interview that has inspired her to help others through her 3 pillars of healing: healing foods, healing movement, and healing mindset. With this simple philosophy, she transformed her life from having $47 to her name and operating as a single mother to owning a $20 million business helping women around the world. Through her program, she has helped millions of people around the world step into radical self-love and a healthier body and mind. On today's podcast, Danette shares her story and inspirational tips on how you can have the life of your dreams with some simple yet powerful and radical changes. And some of this is really going to help with your skin. So please enjoy this interview with Danette. Danette, it's so great to have you on my podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got a really interesting story. You've got, you're on a mission to help inspire women. So let's start with your story and what got you on this path.
Yeah. So before I can really even share about the path that I'm on, it is important to share the story because I truly made my message out of my mess. And so, my journey, I always say that we all have this refiner's moment, and sometimes we have multiple, but we all will have one for sure, where it's really this unlayering of character, unlayering of who we are and what is our strength and what are we here for. And usually refiner's moments is like that refiner's fire, molding glass, molding diamonds. So it's painful. It's hard. It feels chaotic. It feels like, why am I here? What's going on? And I was in my refiner's moment during the loss of my son. So this was, this has been now about 7-8 years. And then right after I lost my son, I found myself going through a really hard divorce. I found myself with $47 to my name, sleeping on my floor, tinfoil on my antenna for my kids to get the PBS chased in. And, I say this story, and that's not really the hard thing, to be sleeping on the floor, even losing my son. The hard part about that whole messy part was my belief system around myself. It was the stories I was telling myself every single day, that I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, I'm a financial ruin, I'm a terrible mom. And I really found myself going, I'm at my rock bottom and I'm at my refiner's fire. I don't know if I called it a refiner's fire then, but I was at my refiner's fire and I was feeling it and I was feeling the heat. And I knew that I literally had 2 choices. You can stay in that story. You can stay in that victimhood. You can stay in just that awfulness that's just bombarding you on a moment-to-moment basis. Or I could choose to listen to what these other mentors, inspiring people that I was finding on YouTube say about mindset, say about people's lives. And I chose the latter. And I started really, really working on my mindset. I started really working on the foods I was putting in my body, the type of way I moved my body. And I was really refocusing on really taking on anything that was healing. And I, not only did I find that my spirit was rising, I looked younger, my body was changing, but really my belief system was changing. And now I operate this $20 million business, motivating, inspiring women around the world on these 3 pillars. And that to me is just, in 5 years to go from that to that, to me is the secret sauce, is really those 3 pillars.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's true that if we can, and really embrace more of that positive in our light, it's not always easy to do that though, when you're in that dark place. And we know we're supposed to eat healthy and we know we're supposed to think positive thoughts. But when we're in that place of suffering, it's hard to see that, right? So yeah, I mean, what do you think, really helps people shift from that dark place to finding hope?
Yeah, this is really my mission, is helping people in that journey, right? This is the mission of The Rise that I'm doing, all about my back-end programs, which is this community program with all the foods and the movement and the mindset piece. Everybody's waiting to feel like it. Everyone believes that there's this magic formula called motivation that some people have, or they're inspired, and some people have it and I just don't. And we're all waiting for this like inspiration or this motivation to hit. And that's the big lie. There is no such thing as this is going to hit you and then you're going to feel like it. You actually have to create it. And so when you actually feel like not doing it, the only formula there is to just do it, especially when you don't feel like it, because that is your invitation, that is when you need to start doing it, especially. So most people that are like, oh, I don't feel like meditating, or I don't feel like saying an affirmation, or I don't feel like moving my body. That's your invitation, that's what you need to do. Because when you don't want to do it, that means you really need it. You really need it.
Yeah. And I guess it's just a matter of making that step and just trying, just making, you know, just doing it. And I don't know any other way to describe it, right? It's just, you just have to.
That's the honest truth, right? And I think so many people are led to believe that some people just have more motivation. You, Dr. Katz, just must have that motivation gene to create a business, to create a podcast, to, you know, take care of your skin, to take care of your body. And the truth is, no, like, you're willing to get into it because you're going to create it, not because you're waiting for anything or anyone. So you are your biggest rescue, I have no doubt.
Right, right. And, you know, I tell you what, it's hard sometimes, right? It's not always easy to do that. It's not like, you know, you just get spoon fed stuff. You have to make it work. So yeah. I know, there's certain words though that we choose, right? That can make a big difference, right?
Absolutely. Words are powerful, and you don't have to take my word for it. There's tons of scientific research out on the power of words. And this is one of the simplest things we can do, is the words we speak. And it does changes our physical appearance. It changes our financial outcome. It changes our relationships. And it is all boils down to the language that we're speaking to ourselves, whether out loud that we're speaking to other people or internally. Now, this has been a scientific study that they've done on water. I did this. You can do this today. You take grains of rice, you put them in three different jars. So this is what I did with my children. Anyone can do this so that you can believe for yourself the power of words and intention and in thoughts. So you take three separate jars, you fill them up with some white rice, like halfway. And then you label one of the jars positive, one of the jars negative, and one of the jars ignore. You put them in the same spot in your home, same air condition, same lighting, whatever that is, put them there. And then that positive jar, you're like going to say, oh, I love you. You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're smart. You're talented. You're going places. The negative one, you're like, you're dumb. You're an idiot. I don't like you. Like, and it's hard to do that. And my kids would do this, and I did this. And then the one that you ignore. Literally in 2 weeks, you will find that the one that you ignore starts to grow some mold. The one that you say mean things, it's already starting. It's moldy. It's getting moldy. You're seeing it very visually. And the one you're positive, it's totally fine. Now, this is the same with our cellular structure. We're made up of 70% of water. There's been studies with water on this and how the molecules change within water. And so something that I do is every single day, this is a non-negotiable. I'm always saying loving words to myself. I tell you, it's the beauty secret of all beauty secrets, because I like will tell myself I'm beautiful. I have beautiful skin. I used to deal with acne, and I would do this to my face. And it's changed my life. It's changed everything. And it's really something that anyone can take a hold of. And I do it when I especially don't want to do it, because that's when I actually really need it.
Some people would say that is kind of forcing something that's not real. Like that's not authentic. What would your response be to something like that?
Of course it doesn't feel real. And of course it doesn't feel authentic. Because your subconscious mind hasn't lined up with your conscious. But the truth is, let me ask you, do you believe that every human is important? Like if you were to go to your best friend or your child, do you believe their life is important? And it's time that and most people say, yes, absolutely. Like I would never talk like that to my best friend or to my child or to someone that I loved or even my pets. But we have this hard time recognizing that that is our mirror, that that is who we are. And so the truth of your soul, the truth of all of our souls is that we are beautiful, that we are powerful beyond measure, that we have genius DNA running through our veins, that we are, you know, worthy, that we are enough. And what's the biggest lie is that you're not. What's the biggest lie is that you're not going to amount to something, or that you don't have talent, or that you don't have beauty and grace inside of you. That is the lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about the words of other people around you? What you surround yourself with? I mean, there's the self-talk, which is so important, but what about other people around you?
Yeah, I mentioned this in my book as well, because you can stand in front of the mirror and say all the amazing, loving affirmations you want. But if your environment is not a reflection of what you deserve, and what I mean by that, if you're hanging out with people that are really negative or even abusive to you, if you ever have a friend or a spouse or someone that's telling you you're stupid or you're ugly or you're fat, it is time to sever those cords immediately. Let me tell you, if they're saying this to you, it's mostly a reflection of how they feel inside themselves. It has nothing to do with you. Anything we truly say to others is our own reflection. And so that is your job, to be your best friend, to be your biggest rescue, and to say, this environment no longer works and aligns for me. And there are tools for this. And I've had in my book, I talk about doing this with my own family members, which is tends to be the hardest, because we have this deep loyalty cord. And that's okay. You owe them love, but you owe yourself love. You have to be your biggest rescue to say enough, because then as soon as you give yourself permission to do that, you give them permission to do that as well.
Yeah, and maybe part of that is setting boundaries and what's okay and changing patterns, because in your environment, people may have gotten used to saying certain words or being, you know, hurtful. But I know there are people that say things and they're like, oh, you know, I'm just kidding. But those kidding words, I'm putting air quotes here, can be quite damaging, even if, you know, it's made in jest, right?
Yes, absolutely. And kidding, that's an interesting one, right? That's an interesting one, because we all know the currency of what's truly kidding and what's just as a way to be like passive aggressive. So just watch that, tune into that. How does this person make you feel? How does this environment make you feel? And if it's not like super high vibing, you can remove yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how often do you think people need to do this? And do you suggest it verbally, written? What are the journaling? What are the things that you think are most effective with those positive words?
Yeah, with affirmations. So here's all I can speak to. I don't necessarily believe there's a one formula fits all, but here's what I did. I was willing to get radical. I needed to get radical if I wanted to change my world. Like, I literally went from $47 to a $20 million company in 5 years by being radical. So I don't really like to skirt around the idea of just dancing with this. Like, I say, you full on get in there and rock out. So I sat down and wrote down probably a page and a half of I am affirmations. And it felt like the biggest lie. And I wrote them all down first. And then I made a non-negotiable commitment to myself. It wasn't a should, it was a must, that if I ever had like a negative thought, like something where I was just like questioning my financial success or questioning me being a mother or my beauty or my worth, that I would read it and I would read it out loud. So this in the early days was like sometimes every 15 minutes. That's how radical I was willing to be. And so I would sit and read it. Like, I still have the paper. It has like been folded up a million times and like been used a million times. And now I've gradually moved that art. So that's where I started. And it felt like a lie. It felt uncomfortable. Sometimes I would cry. Sometimes I felt like I was just going through the motions, but I was committed to it. And then I moved it up to eye gazing in the mirror. There's profound growth that comes from this. If you're willing to step belly to belly in front of that mirror and just start saying the truth and look deeply in your eyes. And so I don't actually do belly eye work in front of the mirror as much anymore, but I will do every day. I just walk out in nature, and obviously these affirmations are like ingrained in me, and I just repeat them. I just repeat them. I repeat them in the morning. If I'm in front of the mirror brushing my teeth, I'm kind of saying them in my head. It doesn't matter if you say it out loud or in your head. It's just as long as you're like repeating them.
I love that. And I oftentimes tell people that using the mirror is a great way to get information about your health with your skin. So looking, your skin is your magic mirror that gives you information. So I would encourage my followers to, while you're doing that, spend a little time giving yourself a little love too, a little affirmations. Yeah.
Yeah. So you speak to your skin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you look at your skin and it gives you information. So instead of covering it up and ignoring it, we pay attention to it, right? So then people can take it a step further. I mean, I tell them to do that when they're applying my skincare products, you know, give yourself a little love and attention.
Wow, I love that.
So I love it adding in your component too. Just look at yourself and
all the goodies to your face and to your skin. I love that because I think we all know the skin is your largest organ, right? And it's always speaking. Your body's always speaking to you. What that subconscious belief is, what's going on. My skin does that. It absolutely speaks to me. It always is telling me what's going on in my inner dialogue, in my inner world. And so it's been fascinating for me to do that journey of really talking to my skin, talking to seriously, like telling it, I will tell it that it can be beautiful. Cause I realized I had subconscious belief that I was too afraid to be pretty. I was too afraid to like look like I don't know where that came from. And that sounds so weird. Cause I grew up with brothers. I don't really know where that came from, but I just knew that there was some subconscious belief that was trying to not be too much. So I would grow acne. Like just to cut, like have some flaws, you know. This was like within the last couple of years when things started to really grow, and so now I've been like, you can be pretty, it's okay, and it's really helped my acne a lot.
Well, that's great. That's great. So, in addition to positive words and affirmations, I know you also talk about other aspects of lifestyle, so food and exercise. And so how do you include that in what you recommend for people as well as your own life? Because it sounds like what you do in your life is what you're modeling for other people. So of course it's, you know, it sounds very connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do want to say before I get in these two other modalities, the first modality, which we just covered, was our mindset piece. And I have to tell you that I believe it's the most powerful piece in anyone's transformation when it comes to your health. Like I said, your relationships, your finances, and it's absolutely free, right? It's absolutely free. I believe that's the number one thing we should be doing. Healing foods and healing movement are a similar pillar. Like I think of a table with three legs. Really important to have those other pillars. So for me, healing foods, I'm not a belief. Like I don't believe in paleo or vegan or vegetarian, or I'm none of those and all of it at the same time. I truly believe that what's coming up for me, for humanity, is truly eating things that are living, that are conscious. So plants that haven't been heavily sprayed, really looking at that, making sure I'm getting more greens than I'm getting anything else in my body. Because if you look at greens, they're getting sunlight, they're in the soil. I want that inside myself. So if it's something that I don't really want that energy of, because if you think of a salad that's really beautiful, and or even a green drink versus like a croissant, like I love a croissant, but if I eat it, it's kind of dead. Like there's nothing really living in that croissant. I want things living inside of me so that I can optimize my energy, where I'm going, my focus. And I don't look at food like calories. I look at really like, is this going to serve my spirit? Is this going to actually give me more energy to do what I've been asked to do in this lifetime? So that takes away a lot of the drama. I don't count calories. I don't weigh things. It's just really about healing foods in the moment. So that's kind of an overall generic one. And I have like some basic guidelines that I follow that I'm happy to share if you want to get into it. And when it comes to movement, the same thing, like we get so bought up that it has to be CrossFit or yoga or Pilates or, you know, running. And the truth is just move. Like move whatever makes you feel good. It might be dancing, it might be a hike, it might be biking. I have no idea, but you have to move to tap into the shadows, to tap into your soul. And when you move, it awakens all of that. It's like this direct conduit to like your soul and to feeling good instantly. So I'm a big believer in all those three.
Absolutely. And I could definitely see how they all play in together, where I think a lot of times people guilt themselves into, oh, I should or shouldn't be eating this food, or I should be going with my friends to that, you know, really intense workout that makes me feel horrible. And then, you know, people, you know, then it becomes the mindset piece, right? It all ties in together. So I love what you said about movement and do what you love. And kind of the same thing with food is nourish your body with foods that, that, you know, are going to feed your spirit. And then I also think of not beating yourself up. Don't guilt trip yourself, because if you want to have that croissant, maybe, and you know, you can eat gluten. I mean, there's, you know, of course, allergies and that sort of thing. But as long as you don't have an allergy, you know, if you were to eat that and feel really, really bad and beat yourself up about it, then it's, and then you're definitely going to have problems with it. Whereas you're like, hey, I'm just going to have this treat. You know, I know I'm not allergic to the things in here. I know it's probably not the best food for me, but hey, you know, it's not the end of the world, right?
Actually, there's a lot of scientific evidence on that power. And I've been doing, obviously, there's other studies on it, but I've taken my own internal group of saying and giving them like chocolate cake, croissants, and then someone who's eating like greens and what you would deem as like healthy food, right? And two different categories. And then we had like just a regular like plateau placebo group. And the person that was eating chocolate cake, croissants every now and again, maybe some sandwiches, just kind of like what normal, they were always being like, this food's amazing. This food is totally going through my body. It's healing it. There's like no guilt associated. And the people that were eating really healthy would be like, oh, I feel like I ate maybe too much salad, or like they would start to like say the words in their mind. They were charged to do this, even whether they believed it or not, just saying the actual words. And we found that the people that were eating like chocolate and croissants were actually losing weight because of the power of their minds, and it wasn't affecting them. So it's really more that power of the mind that's actually affecting how the food is being absorbed in your system. It's just the same is that molecule test when they were like, that's why I speak to my water every single day. I speak to my foods. The guilt factor is so real. So if you are going to occasionally have some sugary or floury or food that's actually not, it doesn't really process as easy normally in the system, just say loving words to it, because the body is super intelligent and it will actually digest it and remove excess toxins that no longer need to reside through the power of your words. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. And of course, what you're talking about is not people that were eating chocolate cake all day long. They were eating a healthy diet and had an occasional indulgence. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they didn't have chocolate cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then a sensible dinner.
So, yeah, so it's about moderation and having things, you know, not... because I think if we create so much shame around, it's easy to create shame around food, and it's kind of perpetuated in our society of this is the way you should eat or should exercise. And if you, you know, work out harder, it's better. And if you, you know, all these different diets too. And it's, I think it's, there's of course, as a physician and doing the research on different foods and allergies and all kinds of things, of course, there's a lot of science behind that and which foods really nourish your body and provide the nutrients you need. And people have allergies, how that can trigger inflammatory processes. But there's also this, there is that power of the mindset and how you look at food. So I think it's so important. And I, you know, I don't usually tell people this, but when I sit down with my kids at dinner, we bless our food before we eat it, and we thank, you know, everything that went into providing it for us. And yes. I don't know what exactly that's doing, but it seems like a good thing to do. Is that something?
Well, that assay is truly changing the molecular structure of the food. Food is made up of water, so blessing it with positive vibrations actually does change the molecular structure of that food that's going inside your body.
I love that. And then recently somebody told my 11-year-old daughter that we should have moon water. And so, so we have put out water and big jugs and put, like, for the full moon and, you know, and then also for summer solstice. That was another one. She was like, let's put out water for summer solstice. So we have all this water.
I love this 11-year-old.
She's so cute. And so we've been trying that. We've been drinking moon water and summer solstice water.
Yeah, I imagine it's working. That's amazing.
Yeah, so giving it lots of loving attention. So I'll report back when... exactly how this is all working for us, but you know, I think that I think that this all ties together. I think a lot of time we separate out food and fitness and from you know, intentions and mindset. So I think it's great that you pull all this together. I certainly do that in my book too. So I love that you have this message and you're working to get this message out to more people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we definitely have an online community where the message gets out, and it's powerful. It's powerful to have the tools that to feel better instantly. So yes, absolutely.
So can you share some of the stories from your followers? Do you have any success stories of people's transformation? I would love to hear that.
Yeah, we have so many success stories. I don't even know where to begin because we have different programs. We have like a 30-day new challenge, which is really about like learning that you can eat up to 6 times a day and not deprive yourself. Most people on our programs seriously say, I've never eaten this much in my life, and I am releasing a lot more and I feel better. I think the ones that get me the most jazzed are people that write in and go, I've had this eczema, this skin disorder my whole life. I've been on steroids, creams, and all of a sudden it's cleared up. And the reason these things are cleared up is because the foods are balancing of the hormones. And when you combine it, because all of our programs are combined with affirmations, I believe the mind needs to get on as your greatest ally. So when you start to step into more self-love, there's a lot of emotion that's going on in our system that relays out through the skin. It relays out through dysfunction in the body. The body's so radically intelligent that when we start loving ourselves and healing past wounds, you will find that a lot of the imbalances you're experiencing in your body become healed as well. So those get me excited. Obviously, people lose a lot of weight. Physically, they look different. Their faces look dramatically different, even in 7 days. They'll do before and afters of their face. But some that also get me excited are the people that have been infertile. And then it's not even a program to help people get pregnant, but people will be like, oh my gosh, I've been doing all these different in vitros and I got pregnant. And we get this one a lot. And it's, once again, it's just because there's a lot of hidden emotions stopping you possibly from getting pregnant. We don't really do a lot of talking about that. We all want everything to be so scientific, but the mind is so, so powerful in what you're stopping and what you're allowing in. And then also the balance of the hormones, the body going, oh, you're giving to me. Like I can like relax and get into my zone now, right? Into my intelligence now. So those ones get me the most excited. You know, the weight loss is always going to happen, but when it's a little above and beyond and it's really affecting their families and their lives and their dreams, that gets me very excited.
Right. And there seems to be this epidemic of depression and suicidal ideation, people committing suicide. And I know that we are so connected, right, in our society. And so things like this, I think, are so important because when each of us starts this movement, right, this rise, as you call it, it has this collective ability to help all of us, right?
Absolutely. We're all connected. You hear the stories of the bees, right? Bees communicate thousands and thousands of miles away to other bees without being next to them. Same with human connection. We're constantly communicating with people, obviously, in our sphere of influence, but even like every single woman is in our DNA. So what we do and the love we feel for ourselves and how we take care of ourselves gives another woman permission. You may never even meet eye to eye on this lifetime, but you are giving her permission energetically. Absolutely.
And I think people feel like, oh, this, I'm being selfish. This is, you know, I don't want to, you know, I've got all these other people I've got to take care of or that I'm concerned about. But I think a lot of times if we work on ourselves, that's where we have the most influence.
Absolutely. I actually believe our number one job in this lifetime, I did a big talk on it at an event, is to love ourselves. A lot of us are looking for our passions, or we think that we're supposed to have this passion or this mission. And I like ask people, I'm like, the greatest thing you can do for humanity, more than global warming, more than anything else, is to work on your self-love. Because if we had everybody in true self-love, right, we would truly change the trajectory of the planet. Because that is what is causing this disruption, this separation, is this lack of self-love in each individual.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. And I hope everybody's listening carefully to this and and doing what we can to create more of that self-love and self-care. I think it's more important now than ever. I keep so much depression and sadness and pain and suffering right now. And so I think it's important. You have a book coming out, and you also have an event. You do live events too, right?
Yeah, we have a 3,000 women live event in Denver, Colorado at the Convention Center this October, and it's called The Rise, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do, I'll be really honest. I never had it on my vision board. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, this is, we're going to plan for this and do it. I literally was hiking one day, and that's where I get most of my inspiration, and I was like, I'm supposed to do this, and I was like, ugh, kind of wrestling with it, like, I don't really want to do it, and I have learned now to listen. So I went to my team and, you know, it's been a year up from when I made the declaration to the team. And now, well, it's probably been less than a year. So in October, we will have this and it's almost already sold out. It is going to be such an incredible event because here's what I do know is that there's a lot of online programs and that is great. But there is power in women coming together. And we know that women are coming together more than ever right now. They're marching. There's this currency of maybe anger or like feeling separated then. And that's all well and great. But can we, if we feel the call, come together in a conversation of celebration, in a conversation of let's talk about the next level. We are untapped resources for humanity. We're not stepping into our self-love. Can we remember the DNA coding that lives in us, our genius, and come together in our vulnerability, in our love, and step on top of our stories and unite and link arms to really make an impact in the world? And so that is what the Rise event is, because I know when we come together on a soul level, it's going to be unstoppable. And so I know this is the first gathering. There will be more, and they'll be in different stadiums around the world, but this one's the first of the Rise movement.
Wow, it's fantastic. I know Kathy Smith told me about it, and Kathy Smith's been on my podcast, and so she was telling me about it. I think, you know, I'd love to come. I'm going to see if I can make that happen and bring some of my girlfriends. So I think it sounds like an amazing event. And then your book is coming out right afterwards. Is that right?
Yeah. So the book is called The Rise as well, but this is like a little bit of the messy memoir of my life. I share stories that I've never shared in there. And then literally I'm only sharing because my goal in life is if I can only help other people as much as I'm willing to help myself. Right. And so I am being so radically vulnerable in this book and really giving you the insights of on my rise. What did I do? What did I go through? And I share it all in hopes that other people find their story and my story and get more courageous in sharing their vulnerability, more courageous in owning their stories. And so that we can truly step into more self-love and connect as we're meant to connect as women right now.
Well, Jeanette, thank you so much for coming on my podcast, and thank you for everything that you're doing, all the hard work that you're doing. Appreciate everything you're doing to help women and empower us and help us accept more of that self-love and self-care.
Yeah, thank you so much. I loved being on here.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Jeanette May and got some great information and inspiration on ways that you can really help with a healthier glow and give yourself that extra self-love and attention that you need in order to also help others. So to learn more about Jeanette, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And also while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you get your customized skin report at theskinquiz.com. It's free, takes just a few moments. You just go to theskinquiz.com, answer some questions, and you'll get information about what your skin's trying to tell you about your health and what you can do about it. Theskinquiz.com. Also invite you to join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.